the sound of your city. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor, your host, and with me is Phil Conlon. Phil Conlon has a program each Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Classical Underground.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm doing well.
We're going to be talking at about 5:30, we hope, with the author Stephen Gowans, and he's written a new book. Stephen always writes important books. This is another important book. It's titled Israel, A Beachhead in the Middle East, From European Colony to U.S. Power Projection Platform. Yeah, I think it's a very important book. There's a, of course, we can't talk about the Middle East. I mean, all of today's headlines do involve the State of Israel and its policies and its leadership. There's not enough sober reviewing of history to understand, you know, how we came to be where we are. We're not helped much in Canada because all of our political parties are passionately in agreement that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, and we have to give, money and weapons to make sure it stays that way. I noticed in his introduction he has a quote from Jesse Helms, a former chairman of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, U.S., 1995-2001. The United States has vital strategic interests in the Middle East, and it is imperative that we have a reliable ally whom we can trust, one who shares our goals and values. There's an Christy Friedland's little echo of our values. Israel is the only state in the Middle East that fits that bill. That's none other than Jesse Helms. A lovely individual.
Yeah, see, a segregationist, as I remember.
A what?
A segregationist.
A rather profound one.
Yes.
Jesse was into segregation. Yes. So we share his values.
Yeah.
So anyhow, baloney. And then a further quote, which is, this is really pertinent. And this is from the introduction by Stephen Gowans. We're going to talk to him at 5:30, but I want you to get some taste of this. He says, he quotes Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking in 1993. Israel is the West's outpost in the Middle East. So the book could have been titled Israel, the West's outpost in the Middle East. That is sort of the nub of it, the whole discussion of what is the problem between the Palestinian people, more broadly the Arab people, also Muslims, and that is ongoing and led to all kinds of sort of odd things, one of them being, and I'm going to ask him about this, nuclear weapons. The United States is passionately, madly concerned about the Islamic Republic of Iran perhaps having the potential to develop a nuclear weapon. There is no nuclear weapon in Iran. There is no policy to develop one, according to all the states and parties that have investigated the matter. But the U.S. has a policy of extreme belligerence towards the Islamic Republic. I would say now we're in the Trump period. They went through with Obama a period of saying, well, if they'll promise on a stack of Qurans, I guess, and if we can independently determine whether or not they're complying with all the measures, then we will end our embargo, basically, and sanctions. And so that agreement was signed, and now Trump has torn that up. It was not a good deal from the point of view of the Islamic Republic because it put them in a position where they were having to, first of all, their honor as a country you know, violated because other parties came and said, well, we too are concerned and we want you to comply. They are complying. But ultimately, you know, this has turned into an embarrassing situation because France and Britain, I guess you'd say Germany, they all were party. They signed this agreement too. Now, Trump has torn it up. He's torn up the agreement. He walked away from it. And, of course, Iran said, well, you other parties to this, of course, you believe in it. And they too, they all said that's wrong. The U.S. should not walk away. And therefore the process should go forward, the agreement, which would mean that Europe would end sanctions and trade with, then return, by the way, frozen monies taken from Islamic Republic. And therefore, they would sail on without Trump. However, they have not done that. Instead, they are all acting like the three wise monkeys. This is really a humiliation, potentially, for the Islamic Republic, because how long do you keep this game going where a guy like Macron says, well, I don't agree with Trump, but you, Iran, must comply, continue in a compliance. But he's dealing with a superpower that is in maintaining a strangling sanctions. That's where the dilemma is, actually. Well, anyway, this is to lead me back to nuclear weapons. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, if you go and look it up, stood in front of the United Nations and he had drawn a 19th century version of a bomb with a little fuse burning. It was really, I got to hand it to him. I could have drawn that, so I don't understand. But anyhow, he held it up and he said, you know, they are building a bomb. And leaving open a question, which we will get into with Stephen Gowans. I always thought the Islamic Republic representative should stand up with a photograph of an actual nuclear bomb and say, this is not a drawing, and it belongs to Israel. That mystery of how they obtained a bomb and why we have gone through decades, actually, of non-discussion of their having this bomb. And I can tell you a story which always has interested me. Do you remember Seymour Hersh, right?
Of course.
Seymour Hersh is one of the great investigative journalists, brilliant man. He's written about a lot of these. He has the same kind of interest we do. He'd prefer to not talk about, you know, what the Wall Street Journal thinks, but he tries to talk about what he thinks is important. And he likes to also ask questions that he doesn't think are being adequately answered. Anyhow, he wrote about this matter of Israel possessing nuclear weapons. And he said he was talking to some Israelis about, well, okay, you've got it. So what is the target? And the answer was Russia.
Of course. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah. Because, you know, you can't just on the day decide where to aim the blasted thing. You actually have to have a plan. And that was actually, I probably misstated in one respect. I think it was still the Soviet Union at the time he asked the question. I would suspect that they still are probably aimed in that direction, although that raises, there's a new question. I don't think Stephen takes it up. I might ask him, but the United States has a special relationship, we're going to go into that, with Israel. They call it a special relationship. Actually, Canada calls it special. You know, that's kind of embarrassing, right? Because nobody ever explained, well, what is special? What do you mean? Because it seems to have a bunch of implications. We need to share it. But Russia, too, has a relationship with Israel. And a lot of the rhetoric going on today about Russia, and China as well, by the way, is not actually being echoed in Israel. And as a matter of fact, their practices are at variance with the great alliance to fight for our values. there's a discrepancy. I don't think we can. I don't know we can get into that. But it just strikes me as kind of, it is being raised in some quarters now because Trump is so belligerent that you know they're getting into a mood where they want to say everybody has to line up 100%, or you know, as Bush would say, if you're not with us, you must be against us, which is dangerous territory. So at any rate, this is all by way of hyping the fact that we will be talking to Stephen Cowens. The third microphone just got clobbered by the book. The book is published by Baraka. I'm sure the readers heard or listeners have heard about it. It was written, The Off Guardian. Do you ever read The Off Guardian?
Yes, yes.
We need The Off Guardian now more than we've ever needed it. The Guardian has gone whole hog into trying to wipe out the labor leader, Mr. Corbyn, heavy attacks. And the discussion of that is one of the great journalistic matters of our day. But at any rate, the Off Guardian, a writer named Rossi, has written a very good review of Stephen's book. And I urge people to go to that, to the Off Guardian, see that review. Some of what I'm going to be talking to Stephen about will be reflect that review. He's particularly interested in the fact that the early British, particularly, and 20th century British supporters of establishing Israel were rather what you used to call a pedestrian anti-Semites. They had no problem maintaining both positions, particularly Winston Churchill, who, as you know, we're almost supposed to take our hats off when we say his name because
he's bow your head and
blood, sweat, and tears, et cetera. And was it Bertolt Brecht produced a photograph of him in a bowler hat with a machine gun and a cigar?
Yes.
look it up. That's one of the great pictures. Anyhow,
Phil, I hate to interrupt you, but there's something on my mind.
Oh, good.
Because I
thought you'd gone asleep, so you couldn't.
No, I didn't go asleep. I'm listening to every word you're saying, Stephen Harper, I don't like to think about him, but he evidently still exists.
Oh, indeed.
And he's meddling in far-off places. So what is he doing in the capital of Albania?
Yeah. What is he doing in Tirana?
In Tirana.
Not Tehran.
No,
Tirana.
Yeah, but this sounds like a movie.
It is a good – it would make a great movie. I think that the guys who produce these silly, murderous CIA comedies in Hollywood should grab this one. Yes, I noticed it today. Incidentally, from an excellent Twitter account, the brilliant Charmaine Narwani. Let me repeat, brilliant Charmaine Narwani, one of the great journalists. And actually, she's just recently given an interview with a program at RT.com. But Charmaine posted a picture of Stephen Harper under a Canadian flag in the capital of Albania, addressing the terrorist group. I call them terrorists because America insisted they were terrorists until they decided that the wind was blowing the other direction. They couldn't smell the odor anymore. So now it's apparently fresh as they can be. The MKO group or it might be the MEK. If I got your initials wrong, just write a letter. At any rate, they are a long-term armed group opposing the government of the Islamic Republic. They were in alliance with Saddam Hussein. He gave them a military base. And when the U.S. invaded Iraq, they protected this group because they liked that group because that group was using the border to cross into Iranian territory and carry out their actions, which were murderous. And that was an international agreement, by the way. But they have become the Trump administration is made up of people who love them. And, by the way, the Democratic Party, let us not lose track.
Oh, yes. Howard Dean was their big fan.
You got
fan,
it. Howard
right.
Dean, yeah. the screaming dean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't he the guy who screamed?
Yeah, he screamed. He's
the
a
famous
screamer. Yeah.
Screaming dean.
Yeah.
And, by the way, when they visit and give their talks are appreciated and even have a value. a pretty high value. I think five figures, and they stand in front of followers of this terrorist group, and they give. And Mr. Bolton said that actually in 2016, they would be holding their meeting in Tehran because that group would have seized power, and he, Mr. Bolton, would be there with them, cheering it, and they would.
Well, I certainly am in favor of them and Bolton going to Tehran, where they can be put beyond harm.
Bolton, yes, Bolton is a non-combatant, but he's with you in spirit. He's there with you in spirit. So Stephen Harper was there, and he endorsed him. Now, get a load of that. I mean, this is a group which was universally regarded as terrorists. And they, no question, they're armed. They're very proud of it. They have tanks. They were based or spent a lot of their time in Paris. They seem to have moved their headquarters. Oh, yes, when Iraq said they could no longer tolerate the presence of this armed group with a hostile intentions toward their neighboring country, the Islamic Republic, and they said, we're not playing anymore. You have to leave. Because they stayed there as long as the U.S. had enough muscle to make the Iraqi government accept their presence. They were there. But finally, the Iraqis, as you know, have asserted themselves to the extent that they said, all right, playtime is over. Get out of here. So since they had captured Albania, they moved them to Albania, where Prime Minister Harper went to see them. So, and he says he's with them 100%. So he is still, you know, you don't see him, but the Conservative Party long for him. So if you like Mr. Scheer, you probably love Mr. Harper. So you're in for a ride, is it, this coming October. Not that we don't have our own. I mean, what do we get to choose here? This is
Can we possibly find a more depressing subject than that choice?
Yes. So that answers, yes, Mr. Harper is in Tirana. Probably, by the way, he definitely was paid. He didn't go there for the heck of it. These amounts will be known. Giuliani was another, Bolton, Dean. And if you're interested in these things, the former head of the secret police of Saudi Arabia, at the last time they had a meeting in Paris, he was the star. And there were congressmen. I think it was Richardson, by the way. Wherever you see a honeypot in the world, you'll always find Bill Richardson standing next to it. It's kind of like if you're at a party and you say, what's the best thing here at this buffet? Just find Bill Richard. He's standing next to it. So Bill Richardson said when they introduced the woman who nominally leads this group, the terrorist group, When the Saudi chief of intelligence, he's very big still in Saudi Arabia, when he spoke, Richardson said, for his part, wasn't he brilliant? And all the Americans present agreed that the head of Saudi intelligence, think of a Washington Post journalist who was made into mincemeat in the embassy in Turkey. He was brilliant, and everybody just loved him. So let's call this the decadence of empire. Anyhow, there's always a few scraps around the table for those who are unemployed in the empire's interest. So anyway, you asked about that. Yes, that's where we are. There's other matters that we probably should take up. We'll be talking to Stephen in a bit, but... Oh, apropos of, we had a former prime minister, quite popular actually, Jean Chrétien. And Jean Chrétien, if what would distinguish, where will he be in the history books? He will be the prime minister of Canada who refused to join the invasion of Iraq, led by George Bush and what would they call them, the Coalition of the Willing. And which is now called one of the worst disasters that they could have organized. because all it did was lead to massive loss of life, no particular political advantage for the U.S., a bloody mess, which continues to this day. But Jean Chrétien, to his credit, as prime minister, said, we're not going to join that. And so you could call, he exercised what you could call Canadian statesmanship. It isn't recalled now. When people say, well, that was, it was based on a lie, remember, they said there were no, there was, Saddam was associating with terrorists, and he was trying to build a nuclear weapon. Does that hear an echo here with the Islamic Republic? Anyhow,
he had weapons of mass destruction.
The WMOs.
Yeah. And they had a guy got up with another little picture at the United Nations to show photographs.
And
of what? Nobody ever understood. But
to this day, we don't know what was in that little vial. We know the little vial guy who held it, but we don't know what was in the vial. We assume it wasn't dangerous because it could have wiped out the UN, I guess. But anyhow, yes, so they lied, and based on the lie, tens of thousands of people lost their lives, ordinary people. And Chrétien, I don't know if Chrétien said he believed or didn't believe, but he simply said that is not something we're going to do. And Canadians ought to value him and his... You know what, he has a sort of sobriety about him. He has, you might call it a sort of a Canadian perspective. And that is no longer viable. Now you must sign on to every clause and the fine print and check the box going along with whatever U.S. says they're going to do. And when our current prime minister, son of Justin, Pierre Trudeau became the prime minister. There was a group around him who were called associates of Chrétien. And what we've been watching recently is the destruction of that group. And I'll give you, for example, you know, a case in point being Jean Chrétien said, I don't understand why they arrested Meng Zhou, because the Americans said, arrest her. Why would you do that? She did not commit a crime in Canada. She's a businesswoman. And it was not in Canada's best interest to have a problem with a major trading partner. And so he suggested they actually should return Meng Zhou. If we were going to put anything at the beginning and end of our program, I would say that. She didn't commit a crime in Canada. The crime that the Americans allege against her is certainly not Canadian perspective at all. And so, and we're talking about a multi-billion dollar corporation, Huawei, which Chrétien and others have said, we need that business. That's good for us. It's also good for our infrastructure because Huawei invests in research and what, et cetera. It employs Canadians, trains Canadians. It's the future. The 5G, that's the future. Well, he is now treated as if he may as well be Billy the Kid. You know, he is an outlier now. They not listened to at all. And as incidentally, he does these things in a rather subtle way. He said this was a conversation which was leaked by people not authorized. As they say, whenever you see that they were not authorized, you could add, but were directed. Say you heard that he said, but say that you weren't authorized to say that. And then we all say, good. Well, anyhow, he did apparently did say it. Well, of course, he's suffering from being rational. You're going to get in a lot of trouble being rational. But that is very important in light of what we're experiencing now, and to know that this was the prime minister who kept us out of a stupid war. Now, his advice today is to stay out of a stupid trade war, and which leads us to, you know, door B. You know, you choose doors. Behind door B, if you say, I'm not going to arrest a woman who's not committed a crime in Canada, And then what's going to happen? And behind door B is a mad American leader, quite crazy, and I mean in terms of the way he talks, who says, I will punish anybody who crosses me. That's really what the options are. Chrétien, by the way, did not discuss that. Because all the Globe editorial writers and letter writers all say is, don't make him mad. So we're in a world where we deal with a very intimidating superpower. And remember that when Trudeau first came in, he said that his foreign affairs minister was, of course, Mr. Dion. Dion and Trudeau, while campaigning, wanting to be leaders of Canada, said that they were going to reopen the embassy of the Islamic Republic. They were going to resume business at some time, you know, a little make nice. And that they were also going to try to become a bridge with Russia, you know, talk to Russia. And, well, of course, and there was a coup instead, and Ms. Freeland took over. I think it is Gray Zone publication. You see Gray Zone?
Yes.
Ken Norton? Ken Norton was heavyweight fighter.
Right.
Who's the other? It's Norton and Blumenthal. Am I right? All right. Phil says he thinks so. Anyhow,
I know Blumenthal's name.
Yeah, brilliant guy.
I don't know Norton.
Yeah. They posted a cable, and this has been taken up by Eve Engler. We have a lot of Engler fans listen to your report. You're absolutely right to be Engler fans, and thank you for listening. But Engler points out that there was a cable from a U.S. Representative in Ottawa working, you know, sent it home, and he said, now that we have in Freeland, we have somebody who believes that America is number one and will, you know, is an America first person. By the way, that isn't exactly a secret. Every time I've seen her talk at any length, she says, we love them, love them, love them, hug them, hug them, hug them, hug them, never different. You're great. You're so mighty. I that's her position. How high is how she answers the phone. But she replaced Dion. So the Christianists were removed. And we are reaping the whirlwind, actually, because America is now in this mode of you shall do this and you will not differ. And it's getting, the situation is becoming more perilous, actually. Anyway, I would like people to listen to this Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. By the way, we're on SoundCloud. Yes, we are. And we're on Facebook. And so be in touch with us. And in a few moments, we'll be talking to Stephen Gowans himself. On the matter of, I want to mention before we go to, Mr. Duterte, one of the things we do at the Taylor Report is talk about things that people don't talk about. I'm very impressed that the president of the Philippines has sent trash back to Canada, which I thought was very, because he said, it showed us, I hear you guys are, you know, want to protect the environment, so do we. Stop sending us your damn trash, okay? Or I'll go to war with you. I thought that was refreshing. The other thing that he did recently, I liked it very much. He said, and it is not reported here, so I want Canadians to know this because, you know, you're trying to function in a democracy and guide the leadership and what you would like. He said, the United States wants us to fight with China over some islands in the South China Sea. He said, it is a concern of the Philippines that we do care about that, and we don't agree with these development of some artificial islands in the South China Sea. But he said, stop pushing us and stop telling us to get into a problem with China. He said, you have a problem with China. You want to fight with China? By all means, I'll be behind you. But don't try to put me in front. And then he had a nice question. I liked it very much. Rhetorical, I assume. He said, what do you think the Philippine people are? Earthworms? And you know, Trump likes to engage in, you know, kind of down get rhetoric that is of the street. Well, he said, you know, we're not earthworms, we're people, and we're not, you're going to just run out there and call, get into a problem with China. He says all these problems, by the way, could be talked through. They're not the kind of problems anybody should be going to war with. But he said, I'll tell you this, stop pushing the Philippines. Why wasn't there an editorial in the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, saying, he's right, you know. We should not be involved in it. So I think we're going to take a brief break, if we could, station ID, et cetera, and come back and talk to the author, Stephen Gowans.